We almost didn't go because, you know, if you were around here, you know how much it rained. But we got to go to the Cavalcade of Stars last night at the Norwalk Drag Race Strip. And I just got to say, they said to be here 8:30 in the morning, sharp. We start eliminations again at 8:30, and I looked over at Joshua and said, "Hey, you think we can be there and back in time for church?" Do you know, as awesome as it, and it was, I mean, I know we were all pretty amped up about it, and thank God for cruise control. I was able to just set the cruise and not get a speeding ticket. You know, it's something pretty awesome to see a motorcycle do 223, is that what he did? 223 miles an hour. And that's not riding a motorcycle. That's hanging on for dear life. Or a car doing 279 miles an hour. Granted, it had a jet motor strapped to its back, but that's awesome. It still doesn't compare to our God. I have to think, you know, when you read in Ezekiel, and what Ezekiel saw in the throne room, he saw angels that moved about without ever, they had faces, they had four faces, and they never had to look away. They never went backwards, they were always going forward, but they could move in whatever direction they wanted because they were already facing that way. And he starts talking about God's throne being a wheel within a wheel. Now, I don't know about you, but when we're sitting there and we're watching those jet turbine engines firing up, that's a wheel inside a wheel. I'm beginning to think God's throne is jet-powered. I don't know. It works for me. You come up with another theory, I'm interested in hearing about it. But as you read about it, it might just freak you out a little bit. Because we always think of God, oh, he's sitting on a throne carved out in rock or something like that. Seriously? It's not what Ezekiel saw. It freaked him out. Well, hallelujah. This morning, I want to minister a message to you that, well, the other night, we had a bonfire, a small bonfire, small enough that my neighbors called and said, "Hey, are you having a fire?" I said, "Yeah, okay, we saw the smoke," and from the position of, from where they were at, it looked like my barn was on fire. So they were concerned, and I'm glad they called. But I told Joshua, I said, "We don't burn so many pallets at the same time anymore." It just gets a little tall. Thank God there was no wind, and it was just straight up, and they burned quick. But unfortunately, Joshua and Tony went inside. Everybody else went inside, and I'm standing there tending the fire until it is pretty much just hot coals. And I'm standing there, it's still burning, and I'm looking around. I thought, well, I cut all these multiflorals down the other day, and I'll just rake them up and throw them on and burn them. And they burn quick. But it's dark. I can't see where I'm really raking. And the only thing that worked was the pitchfork. And I've stuck myself in the foot with that before, and it's not fun. So I thought, you know what? Next best thing, just take the pitchfork over, get a board out of the fire, and come over and just set it on the pile and burn. And it worked. Worked great. Once it took off, it was like, whoo. 5 minutes later, there's just a pile of ashes and coals. And so I did the next one, and I'm moving over, trying to get the rest of the, because when we bought our property, it was a jungle of multifloral roses. And this is almost the last of them. I say almost because there's probably another 50 plants that I got to cut down. But so it's getting a little later and a little later, and I'm getting a little tired. And so I thought, well, I don't want the fire going out any further. It was all green grass from that point out anyhow. Nothing was really burning. So I just started raking the coals up into a pile. And I know this, but was just getting tired. And I'd done it to both sections, and I'm looking over there, and I thought, wow, that's a really bright pile. That's doing a whole lot. That's not good. That's going to mean I can't go in the house. Then I remembered, if we rake the piles together, firemen, it gets bigger. But if you spread them out, they cool down quicker. And God said, that's the same way it is with my people. See, people want to know, why do I got to go to church? I just explained it to you. See, if we think that, oh, I'm going to be a Christian on my own, I'm going to tell you right now, you will believe in God, but you will not act like a Christian. I'm testament to that, okay? And so I obviously went over and knocked down both piles when I realized what I'd done. And sure enough, by the time I was ready to go in, they were just little white sticks. I'm sure they would still burn me if I'd picked them up, but they didn't go any further. And God said, see how quickly the fire burned when they all got together. I just keep breaking that stuff up, and it just keep consuming. Now, see, there was a time in the Bible, well, actually, even in Jewish tradition, they went to the synagogue daily. They went to church every day. That's where they prayed. And in the New Testament church, it said they gathered daily. Now, that doesn't mean everybody always gathered, but they would gather daily. And the Bible says that the church was added to daily. Now, everybody's wanting today for the church to keep expanding and growing and growing and growing, but we don't want to pay the price. And I'm not saying we're going to have church every day, okay? Because there's one part that got missed. We're also supposed to be a functioning part of society. We got jobs. You got to take care of your family. See, what happens is when you start getting a society that says, well, hey, I'm going to spend all my time doing this, you get a society of moochers. Well, I tell you what, we'll all gather here in the church and y'all just give us money and we'll just sit here and pretend we're doing something. And that's not what we were ever called to do. Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The day they're referring to is the day that Christ will be returning. The closer we get to that, and this is in we'll call ancient Rome, because this is still inside of 60 AD, we're seeing people saying Jesus is returning. How much more so should we be gathering together? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And the reason for that is, it's real quick, go back to 24, Chase. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many Bible verses you can quote me. If you know all the disciples, I don't care about any of that. I care about your good works. Where's your works? Where are your good works? And that doesn't mean you're supposed to be coming up and saying, hey, Pastor, I did this. No, just let it go, and God will reward you for it. But if you go around telling everybody everything you've ever done, you've received all the reward you're going to get. So I don't tell you everything I do. I keep a stash in the back because I want God to reward me. I don't want to be standing there and he says, you told everybody everything you did, so you got your reward. But we get together today not so we can create a cult. Not you, so you can say, oh, Pastor, it was such a great message, which I appreciate that when you're actually moved by it. I really appreciate that. But, and so we can stir up love in one another. And if we have love stirred up in us, we want to do good works. We want to do good things for other people. So, let me ask you a question, Sean. You still, is it CrossFit training you're doing? What would happen if you said, I'm not training at all this week? How do you think your performance the following week is going to be? Yeah. His performance is going to drop. Because he decided, and he trained, you trained pretty much every day? 4 or 5 days a week, okay. So if you stop, you are going to suffer over here. See, that's what happens. There's always a saying, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. 7 days without church makes 1 week. What happens when 1 week becomes two, two becomes three becomes four becomes a month, five becomes 6 months? Tell me how strong you are then. Tell me how much you really love your neighbor then. Let me tell you what happens. You focus on yourself. And I'm not, again, I'm not telling you anything I haven't done. I've learned this firsthand, the hard way. That's exactly what I did. I said, you know what? I don't care. This is my life, and I'm going to live it how I want to. Now, there's a certain amount of that I stand on, okay? We did this. Some of you seen them on Facebook. The what's your element? What's your element in your name? Mine's argon. And it says, I don't let people tell me how to live my life. I'm just glad it wasn't uranium. But there's a certain amount of that that is right. We've created so many rules and regulations within the church that are not scriptural. None of the stuff that we're, that I've seen a lot of that happening is even biblical. Well, the Jews did. Do you understand, if we go by everything that was ever done in ancient Judaism, back in Abraham's time, we would still have slaves today. Are you hearing me? God never said slavery was wrong. It's not in your Bible. We chose to say that's wrong. We chose to love other people as people. God didn't want to tell us how to do everything. He wanted us to make the decisions to do things right because they're right. God didn't always get involved in their lives. Oh, he controlled every little aspect of it. No, he didn't. We control it. Just like you have the choice. I don't know about you, but we ended up taking a detour last night that added 20 miles and an hour on my drive. So an hour-long drive took 2 hours. And I was whooped. We got home. I'm like, okay, roll the window down. Okay, you know what? I don't care for salt and pepper, but I'm a mighty good man, so I'm going to listen to it to keep myself awake. Not my choice of station, but hey, it was coming in clear, and everybody else in the car was asleep. So I figured a driver ought to at least stay awake. But this morning when I rolled over, I was just like, oh, man, I hurt. I'm tired. I hurt. Just 15 more minutes. So I hit the snooze. It wasn't 15. It's like 8 or whatever. So there's my snooze. And then while I laid there and I talked to the Lord, another 45 minutes went by. Finally got up and got my coffee. We each have to make a decision to be here. I know it's rough. Do you know what the Sabbath is actually supposed to be? It's a day of rest. It's a day for your body to rejuvenate. I have to laugh when I see, when we talk about recreational activities. The word recreation means recreation. It's supposed to build your body back up. How many of us have recreational activities that do not require us expending a lot of energy? You just sit on the couch, huh? Okay. I love that one. Yeah, reading a book. Those things are recreation. They're rest. But for the rest of us, let's go hiking. And you know, boating, oh yeah, all you're doing is driving a boat. You ever been on the tube in the back? bounced around, being thrown all over the place, and then you got to tread water for however long until they finally decide to come back and get you. They don't care if there's alligator signs posted all the way around where you're swimming. True story. Can't tell you that I was ever that scared. I said I was afraid of nothing. Alligator habit, swimming in an alligator habitat, not exactly the smartest thing we ever did. So the Sabbath, God created the Sabbath so we'd just relax. But as Christians, we have chosen to come in and worship God. By the way, the real Sabbath, I'm going to just blow your mind right here, is Saturday. This is the first day of the week. Just so you know, we've changed our schedule and our calendars to adopt to it, but you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they aren't wrong, but it doesn't matter. Take a Sabbath. That's why I try to take Mondays as mine, because legally I'm working today. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and forsaking not coming together like this. I had somebody was asking me one time about that, said, Pastor, can you explain to me why I should go to church? I've always struggled with this. And they were a military person. I said, well, it's real easy. Since you're military, I can explain it to you. I said, this is formation. Formation is what we had three times a day, at least 5 days a week. And you know what we did? We got the word. That's what it was called. A platoon sergeant, platoon commander, whoever it was, the commanding officer, they'd stand out in front and they would make sure we all had the word. We got the same word. We knew what was happening, that as much as they were going to tell us anyhow. But we got the word. And that's what happens here. We come, we get the word. The word is your power, folks. The Holy Ghost is the power to enact the word, but the word is what you've got to have in you. This, right here. You got to have Jesus in your heart. You got to have the love of Jesus. I'm going to try to keep training myself. I got Jesus in my heart. I got his spirit. I got his love. Jesus is on the right hand of the throne of the Father because he's a flesh and blood man. He's in heaven now. So I've got his spirit, his love living inside of me. But I only have that because I have this. I've got the revelation. See, the Holy Spirit was sent not just so you could have power, but to illuminate the word. It is to open up the Bible to what is truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you will let that happen and quit trying to make the Holy Spirit something goofy, your life will become more victorious. And can I tell you a little something? You won't need to chase down every revival coming and going. I was praying about this the other day. And I was just like, Lord, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, Father, but I was drugged to every tent revival coming and going as a child. Didn't matter if the tent had holes in it. Rain was pouring in on you, and you sat on those old hard wooden chairs on straw or sawdust. Sang the same songs you sang the night before, and the night before that, and the night before that, and the week before that, and at the revival before that. And I'm like, Father, I saw people go to those week after week, month after month, and never change. Not one thing changed in their life. And he told me, he said, revival is not a meeting. It's a way of life. Right here's the revival you need. Not another church service. I'm going to read some things here to you. I know I maybe just a little, that's where I'm looking for. Obstinate to what people are trying to tell you is going to happen today. people are trying to force something. You don't force the Holy Spirit, for starters. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The psalmist said, your word is the light that I need to see where I'm going. Now, flip over to Matthew chapter 5, or you can read it up over the head here. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you know what we want people to glorify in right now? We want people to glorify in that, oh, we've got this whole stadium rented out, and we've got masses of Christians coming from all over the country just to get the anointing here. I'm just as anointed today as I would be in any other service. The anointing does not lift because of that. Now, I do believe that there is a stronger corporate anointing when we come together. I mean, seriously. If you're out in the woods and you got one little wolf comes up, you're probably going to be able to stand against him. But what happens when you start seeing the others that are standing around? They start coming out of the woodwork. You start getting a little intimidated. The devil's no different. He likes to pick on those who are singled out, which is another reason not to forsake the assembling of yourselves. I love watching these African videos. I mean, Wild Kingdom was one of my favorite shows as a kid. I don't care who you are. I never missed that in Jacques Cousteau. I loved that stuff. But, you know, they watch, you got these, particularly the wildebeests, and, you know, and some of the antelope and stuff would do it. But here's one thing that they do. When they're running, they stay as a herd. If you get singled out, you're the next dinner. Why do you stay as a herd? Because the thing that is chasing you can't identify which one you are. And so when it jumps, it's jumping at this, and it only gets something else. But what I love more than that is when, especially, oh boy, mamas. Them mama wildebeests. And you get their baby, they come after the lion. And they go after that thing, and they get their baby back. Sheep are no different. Sheep will stay in a group. But if one sheep spreads out, and that's all they need is one to go off on its own, the wolves will go after it. Okay? So now, Jesus said to let our light so shine before men. How do we let our light shine? First off, what is the light? Ooh, I got this light that emanates from me. I'll admit, I mean, it's just like a pregnant woman. There's a glow. I never saw it. When we came back for a week back in 93, 94, and we went back to North Carolina, our pastor walked up to Angel. I mean, it was our first Sunday. He walked up and says, are you pregnant? Huh? He said, you've got a glow. Sure enough, she was pregnant. We're not talking about your aura. What color it is, I don't care. Mine's camouflage, if you need to know. We're talking about the light that shines out that people see. They see your attitude. They see how you deal with people. They see how you talk to people. They see how you treat people. Guess what those are called? Good works. They see the fact that you stopped and held the door open for the elderly person in the wheelchair coming through that was by themselves. They see that kind of stuff. People are always watching you. And it's, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a fish or a cross on your car, they're watching you even more. Did you see that car, man? Look at it. It's got a fish and a cross. And I'm speeding and they passed me. People are watching you. They want to see your good works. People don't want to hear how much you care. They want to see how much you care. But I'm going to tell you something. We will not do good works. We will not have good works if we don't have the Word. You've got to first off have the love of Christ. And you've got to have a working knowledge of the Bible. I didn't say you had to be a theologian. I promise you, I am the furthest thing from a theologian. I know useless facts. That's a part of life. We all have a lot of useless facts. But until you have a working knowledge of the Bible, there are so many people today that they still point out that when the scribes and Pharisees brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and they threw her down before Jesus and told them the law of Moses. They quoted it to Jesus. That's the Word, isn't it? That's the law. The Word was about to show what was supposed to have happened there. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, here's the difference. When the Holy Spirit reveals something, there's something totally different happens. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, don't have any graven images. Don't have no other gods before me. We'd all be up the creek. We would all. We've got our family sitting up there. We've got our jobs sitting up there. We've got our recreational activities sitting up there before God. And I'm not saying you can't go out and have some fun and enjoy your life. Please hear me. I'm telling you right now, that's something I'm actually working on putting into effect in my own life. I had it banged into my head, you shall not ever miss a Sunday. So I've preached with fevers, lost my voice. Praise God, it's finally back. That's law. Okay, but what Jesus said, did, he wrote in the sand. Man, I wish I could remember a little bit. We heard about that the other day, if you can remember it. He wrote in the sand, and then he said, the first one without sins, throw the first stone. They all went away. And people have told me, he said, well, you know, he could have thrown the stone. I don't care what he could have done. I care about what he did. What did Jesus do there? He administered grace because of the Word. See, without the Holy Spirit, the law is death. But with the Holy Spirit, the law brings life because of the revelation of it. Everything the Apostle Paul got hold of in his life about grace came because he knew the law. And now because he had the Holy Spirit to show him, he's able to say, now, wait a minute. Okay, so all this sacrificial stuff is done away with now. And then he said, all things are now legal, but not all things are profitable. Because I'm going to tell you right now, even in this country, you can kill somebody if you want, can't you? Don't sit there and tell me you can't, because if that's the case, we would never have another murder. But why don't we? Because it's not profitable. Jail time is not worth it. That's why we don't. Because I promise you, if every last one of us, if we thought we could really get away with it, if we could just kill somebody, you know, like the guy who just stole your parking spot you've been waiting on for 10 minutes. Or the guy that went blowing by you, you're already stressed out. They go blowing by you, honking a horn, flipping you off. And then gets in front of you without a turn signal, jams on the brakes, whatever. Come on. Don't tell me you wouldn't want to wring his neck. By the way, it's not, the thoughts will come, you don't act on them, and you don't meditate on them, okay? That's why the Bible tells us to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is, how should I respond to this? And bless God, I'm working on saying, Father, bless them. It's hard. So we got to have the love of God in our life. We've got to have good works backing up that we love people. Now, Matthew chapter 25. A familiar passage of scripture here, 25, we're going to read this parable. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. We did not know that until Jesus just told us. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. Everybody woke up. Now I need you to understand, following along in what has traditionally been taught, this is the church. This is supposed to, by the way, the number 10 represents the redeemed. This is the redeemed. Okay? Everybody was asleep. But when the cry went out, they all woke up, they got up, and they trimmed their lamps. That means they cut off the little burn edges. They were still burning, and they turned up their lights. And I want to point out, it said those virgins trimmed their lamps. It's a personal thing. It becomes personal. I believe faith is personal. You're responsible for you. I'm not responsible for you. I can't make you pray. I can't make you read. I can't make you come to church. I see the benefit in it. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, isn't that like a lazy person? You do all the work, you do everything, and then they want some of what you got because you worked hard for it. Oh, doesn't that just make you want to just love them and kiss them and hug them on the neck? No, it makes you want to take that lamp and bust it over their heads, what it makes you want to do. Are you kidding me? I thought ahead and I brought oil for me. Again, another personal annotation here. They said, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Here we go again. It's another personal responsibility. You are responsible for getting the word. You're responsible for getting the revelation. People don't want to hear that they're responsible, especially in this country anymore. This was on, you know, after Salt and Pepper singing about me. The DJ, they were out of Mansfield, and he said, you know, I remember driving the Miracle Mile, and that's up there off of Park Avenue, those of you who don't know. He said, I remember driving the Miracle Mile. He said, back in the day, we'd cruise, we'd park out there. He said, but today, the shop owners don't even want the kids out there. Why? Because, he said, they make messes and they don't pick anything up. He said, one generation, they don't want the kids at cruising anymore because they make a mess and they destroy. There's personal responsibility. Well, somebody else will clean that up. Where's your personal responsibility for what you did? just kind of like at a football game, those of you that like to run off and leave your crap laying all over the bleachers. Pick it up. Joyce Meyer told you to put your shopping carts back to shopping carts. I'm telling you to clean up after yourself at basketball and football games. Come on, it's not that hard. 55-gallon drum sitting over there with a liner in it. Put it in it. Oh, somebody else will clean that up. And people don't get paid to do that, do they? I didn't think so. I know, because these guys have had to clean this garbage up before. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and shut, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, as surely I say to you, I do not know you. I have to say, those are probably the saddest scriptures, some of them, besides the fact that Samson, the Holy Spirit, left Samson and he never knew it. I personally believe the revival that we keep preaching about and hearing about, that people are still trying to create a big, massive meeting, is a personal revival. Everything about that was personal. Those who did not have were required to go get on their own. And those who did have thought about it and brought extra. Now, here's the thing, folks. I need you to fully understand this. I was talking with somebody the other day, and we had a question about this. And I've often questioned about it. And then after this and the Holy Spirit showing me some things, I think I know what the oil was, what was lighting their lamp. People will try to tell you that it's those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit has been likened into oil, the anointing. However, David said, your word is a light to my path. Jeremiah said, his word was shut up in my bones like a fire. The two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus resurrected, talking to him, realized after he walked away, they said, did our hearts not burn like fire inside of us while we talked with the word? The light that we have that's supposed to be shining for all to see is a lifestyle of revealed word. How to love people. I think it's absolutely insane that Ozzy Osbourne had to create the song Crazy Train just so to get people to love. I never knew what that song was about. I sat down and listened to the words one day. If we learn how to love, forget how to hate. We're talking about one of the men that the body of Christ rose up in droves in the 80s. We're going to crucify the Antichrist. Why did he have to sing a song about love? Because the church would rather think that they're an army marching on as to war for Jesus Christ, and we're going to kill all those who do not love him. We were never, ever, 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 ever called to do that. Never. I was watching the History Channel the other day. You know how the Crusades really got going? The bishops. They had all these knights running around from wars. They didn't know what to do with themselves. The bishop said, hey, Jerusalem has been overrun with Muslims. Let's go do this godly thing and kill them. Yeah, that works real good for loving people, doesn't it? We're going to do it in the name of God. We're going to kill people. Seriously? And no wonder they called that period through there the Dark Ages. Because there was no revealed word. It was actually very sad. As a matter of fact, he was a friend. He was the king of the Franks. Is it Cletus? Cleus? Who? Clovis, yes. I kept messing up the name then. I'm like, okay, I know it's something like, he got saved. Justified his wars afterwards in the name of God. It pays to have a history teacher in here. Although it could come back to bite me someday. If I'm wrong, so is the History Channel. That's all I got to say. But you see, revealed word is what is our light. Revealed word is what tells you, okay, so what? Tomorrow's Monday. So what? Oh, Pastor, it's Monday. I hate Mondays. I will rejoice. Rejoice, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We forget the revealed word. Remember when I told you God is your all in all? He can be everything you need him to be. By the way, those of you that are trying to figure out, I know I said father, he can also be the mother you need. But it says God the Father. I always had a thought, kind of a theory in my head years and years ago. I'm like, God, okay, you are three in one. We are three in one. We were originally created male and female after your image. So if you're the father and there's the son, where's the mama? Then I read a little book. I think I may have to read it again. Called The Shack. Have you ever noticed? And by the way, the Holy Spirit was the side that they, more motherly, the more tending. Have you ever noticed? You can talk about a guy, he'll smack you up inside of your head. But you talk about his mama or his wife, you're going to the dentist tomorrow morning. Jesus taught us, he said, you can talk about me, you can talk about my father, but don't you dare talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare talk about the Holy Spirit. Says something. When we reject the Holy Spirit, folks, we reject revealed word of the of God. We now subjugate ourselves to legalism. That's what we get down to. Oh, Pastor, you're going to hell. You didn't bless your lunch. I was just as thankful for it as it was going down my gullet as I was this morning when I asked the Lord to bless the food for the day. Now, I still stop from time to time all the way. Dinner time. But I'm no longer legally bound to something. Angela was saying, years ago, back in the late 80s, it really became a thing. I guess maybe earlier than that, I just never paid attention. The 80s were kind of, when you're a child, you don't pay attention to what's going on. But that, a teaching started going around that you were to get up early in the morning. You had to get up early. God only hears your prayers before 5:30. And you got to pray for 1 hour. Do you know what happens to me if you get me up at before 5:30 and tell me to go sit down somewhere for an hour? You're going to come back at 6:30 and I'm going to be... However, you want to hang with me? I'll see you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because I ain't been to bed yet. So that whole teaching's a farce. Oh, God answers, the early bird gets the word. Hey, whatever, if you're an early bird, get up. Praise God, hallelujah. Get it. I'm not an early bird. Don't call me at 7 o'clock trying to give me the revelation you just got. I'm usually awake, just not coherent. But anyhow, she heard Creflo talking about this the other day. And I was, as soon as she started in, I was like, oh, no, don't go down that road, Creflo. Don't go down that road, brother. He said, most of us can pray an hour, 1 hour a day. I go, I know we can. He said, there's nothing that says you got to do it all in the same hour. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. I talk to God as if he's right there with me, because he is. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit will show you people. You can look at people and see their countenance and pray for them. He brings people to your mind. You can pray for them. He said, if you do that, he said, I promise you, you will pray more than an hour a day. You will pray more. Because I've known lots of people, they pray religiously for an hour a day. Man, you don't interrupt them. You don't, bless God, the house can burn down around them. You do not stop their hour of prayer. You just interrupted the flow of the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit's supposed to dwell within you all the time. Your hour of prayer can be spread out over the day. And that's the way I've done it for years. You can ask my wife. I've tried and tried. I've tried. And after I wake up, I would even force myself to come into here to the church. I'd get up. I think we were getting up real early. It was still dark, like 4:30 or something like that, because some of you guys had to be at work earlier. So we'd come in here. We'd pray. They'd come in and they'd go, and I'd come up here and I'd hit my knees on the thing. I remember waking up one morning, looking up, nobody's here, and I'm passed out across the stairs. I said, Lord, this ain't working. This ain't the first time. It's just, I think I've been here for 2 hours sleeping on the steps. But I've learned to pray when I'm on the mower. Cutting wood with saws, building, whatever. And if I'm building, you notice I'm wearing my glasses nowadays more. It's because I've hit my thumb a whole lot more with the hammer. Something about that nail getting a little blurry when you're trying to swing a hammer. It's like, man, why have I missed a cut? Oh, gee. Go get my glasses. It's amazing. I don't miss the nail. I heard that. The whole reason, folks, we get together, the whole reason that we do this is to stir up love in each other. Because you know what happens when you get out on your own? You think you're a lone ranger. Or the devil comes at you and, oh, there's nobody loves me. There's people that love you. You just chose to separate yourself from the herd. Or the flock, as it were. But when we come together, we stir up that love in each other, and we want to do good. Not just to those of our house, but to those who are outside. Those who do not deserve us to do good. I got a situation going on right now that I got to deal with somehow. You can ask Phil. I've already shared with him. I know what I want to do in the flesh. But I can't deal with it in the flesh. I got to deal with it in love. God, they're watching me. They're watching how I'm going to react. What do I do? I know the answer right now, even as I said it. I know exactly what I got to do. It ain't what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? It's not what I want to do. But it's not about me. And see, there's the revealed part of the revealed word. It's not about me. Because my Bible doesn't say, do unto others as they've done unto you. Bible says, do unto others as you'd have done. Sometimes I wish Jesus had just gotten a horse at that day, you know. Something about the Son of God always walking in the anointing, never getting sick, never losing his voice. So he had to teach us that because he knew we'd have days where we'd want to act like fools and leave our revealed word at home. I'm just going to leave it all at home, and I'm going to go show up with what little bit I've got, and then it's going to burn out on me, and then I'm going to get left outside and told, depart, I never knew you. Wow. It's not words I want to ever hear. Not words any of us should ever want to hear. All right, let's stand. Just a few things for you to chew on. In Genesis, did you ever notice the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, but there was no sun? Where'd the light come from? The Word. In Revelation 21, I believe it's 23, it's talking about the city, the New Jerusalem, that God is going to build for the bride. And it said, there will be no sun in that city, for the Lamb will be its light. The revealed Word of God will be the light to the world. I had to laugh the other day. I saw something. It was on a History Channel or something, stating the sun is halfway through. It's spent half its life. Okay, and what are we going to do to stop it? Yeah, that's right. We're going to go bring another one in. I don't know what they... Yeah, there we go. We'll all get on big spaceships and we'll go to other planets and find wood and we'll just throw wood on. People are stirring so much garbage up for you to stress out and worry about. Oh, Lord, the sun's burned. What are we going to do? What are my children going to do, Lord? Listen, seriously, they're saying the sun's, what, 500 million years old? What are you worried about? If it's only half burned, you've got another 500 million. Why are you stressing about it? You're only going to be on this planet, what, maybe 100 years? Pfft, don't stress. The scientist who came up with that thought, it's halfway gone. And what are you going to do? Don't stress. I will tell you this. I'm so excited. I connected with an old buddy I served with in Okinawa the other night and found him on Facebook. And I believe he's serving the Lord now. But he was asking me if there's anybody else that I had been in contact with that we served with over there. And I said, well, one person I know for sure. I looked for one of my other roommates. And I looked him up. And sure enough, he was on there. And looks the same, just a little more hair than the last time I saw him. And I told Ange, I said, man, just something I couldn't tell for sure. But I started reading some of his posts on there. And back in April, I think it was, he said, my son got saved tonight. I told her, I said, he's the first person I ever led to the Lord. He's still serving God. And because of something I did 22 years ago or whatever it was, his son got saved. I can't tell you how it makes me feel. But you see, I had a brain cramp. Decided to go into rebellion right after I did that. I said, Lord, please send him to somebody. Because I was hurting myself. But I rejoice in the fact that a seed sown that long ago grew. And he looks happy. He's married, got kids. Paul said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children serve the Lord. That's all those he led to the Lord. I can now understand what it feels like. I rejoice that my flesh and blood children do. Because right now they have to if they're in my house. But he left. He didn't have to. I led him to the Lord probably 3 weeks before he rotated. What a blessing to see that. He was one of those that I often prayed, Father, forgive my stupidity. Because I need you to understand, he was searching for something. Thank God I had enough sense at that time. He was reading Transcendental Meditation. He was trying to find it, get into everything. He was searching for something, and bless God, he found it. So don't ever think that just because you were stupid that God can't control the situation. Hallelujah. Anyhow. All right. Well, let's pray, and I will let you go. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Word. We thank you that you sent the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And now, Lord, we have Word living. We have physical Word right here in these binders. But, Father, it needs to go beyond the binders, and it needs to come into our heart, and it needs to come through our mind, through the revelation of power of the Holy Spirit for us to live so that our lights may shine. Help us all, Father, to live that life, that we may grow, that people may see you through us. Father, may they see that we're Christians and not hear that we're Christians. May they see our good works and rejoice. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that they chose to get up. They chose to come here. And now, Lord, I bless them. Father, bless them as they go out, as they go to family get-togethers, as they go to eat. Lord, just let people around them feel your power and your love. And now, Lord, I bless them as they go about their work week. Lord God, you see the things ahead of them. Anoint them, empower them, Father, to handle them all in Jesus' name. Amen.